Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for this is what I have come out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it feels like a lot of what I'm called to do in writing a sermon and preparing to speak with you all is to look at ways in which people have done that in the past before and not done a very good job and said some hurtful things. And I say that also, I try to be humble and recognize I don't always say the right things, and maybe sometimes I say harmful things, but my brain has been worried about this passage and what might be spoken about it, but I also play around with things like that. So my sermon title today, "She Began to Serve Them," kind of deals with some of that. It is a passage like this that has led many in our faith traditions and our culture more broadly to think that that's all that she needed to do was serve them. I'm dancing around the issue. We're going to talk about some feminist stuff today and the evils of the patriarchy, just so that you're ready. In this scripture, we have two different responses to Jesus' healing. We have Simon's mother-in-law. We have Simon himself. Simon's mother-in-law, just to be a bit of a spoiler, I think had the best response. She gets up and begins to serve Jesus and all those in the house. Later on, we see Simon's response, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, some of the issues with this scripture. Some of the feminism that we need to bring up to correct parts of this scripture. Reading the scripture, what do we know about Simon's mother-in-law? She was Simon's mother-in-law. That's it. Do we know her name? No. She doesn't have a name. Do you know how old she was? She was at least old enough to have Simon as a son-in-law. That's it. We know absolutely nothing about her. She is an unnamed person in this scripture. And yet, she's also one of the first people to get it right. Women in this time didn't have much. They were literally property. You belonged to your father. When you got married, he sold you to this man that you were going to marry, and then you belonged to the husband. Property. We've come a long way. But even in that day and age, this woman did not have a name. She is known by her relationship to a man. She is Simon's mother-in-law. Now, unfortunately, that has still kind of kept up today. How many of you remember at your wedding at the end being introduced as Mr. and Mrs. John Smith, per se? Did that happen? You remember that? Now, a lot of the weddings that I've done recently, we've gotten past that. I'd like to introduce to you for the first time John Smith and Jane Smith. we'll hyphenate names and that sort of thing. We've done a good job. But even how we talk about women and young girls and all can be a bit problematic. Have any of you introduced Madeline as my daughter? This is Peter's daughter, Madeline. That's backwards. She's Madeline. She happens to be my daughter. She's Madeline first. See, it's a subtle difference. It's a subtle shift. She's not Peter's daughter, Madeline. She's Madeline, Peter's daughter. You catching on? She is her own person. We do this all the time with girls. We don't even blink about it. They are known by their relationship to whatever man. Daughter, wife, girlfriend. But we don't do it the other way. Have you guys seen how mad people got when we started talking about Taylor Swift's boyfriend? Ooh. That just ground against people. Taylor Swift's boyfriend playing in the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce isn't Taylor Swift's boyfriend. He's Travis Kelce. They just happen to be dating. Get all upset when we try to speak about men the same way that we speak about women. Yeah, and side note, stop being upset about Taylor Swift. She's wonderful. She's good for the game of football. I think what they timed her appearances in the AFC Championship game, was it 24 seconds or something? Less than one commercial, right? And I know you've seen the same commercial during the same football game over and over again a couple times, right? Taylor Swift's good for the game of football. But all right, we'll get back on track a little bit. We'll get back on track. Simon's mother-in-law. Our relationships to people are important. It helps us understand how we relate to one another. And so recognizing how people are interconnected in our lives isn't a bad thing. But those relationships are not the most important part of who they are. And so we acknowledge that when we speak of Simon's mother-in-law here in the scripture. Jesus heals her. And her response to that healing is that she gets up and she begins to serve them. She begins to serve Jesus and all the disciples. This is the right response. Not because she's a woman and that's what she needs to be doing. We read this in Sunday school, and everybody, the women included, everybody was like, oh yeah, that's why they healed her. So she could get back to serving them. They were hungry and needed a sandwich. So Jesus healed her so that somebody could serve them. No, jokes aside, that's not what's going on. Jesus heals this woman because she is in need of healing, and that's what Jesus does. Jesus heals. He brings people back to fullness of life. And in her response, she begins to serve them. Yes, in that time, in that place, it was her role and her job to serve them. So Jesus, part of this healing is he's offering her to go back into the role and the job that she has been given in that society. So, yes. But she begins to serve them because that is what she wants to do. Not because she needs to or she has to. Her response to this healing is to serve. It's beautiful. Now that stands in stark contrast to Simon himself. After his mother-in-law is healed, that evening comes. This is very important. The scripture that we read last week told us that Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. They've come home immediately from the synagogue and gone into this house. Jesus has healed this woman on the Sabbath. Right off the bat, the first healing that Jesus does is on the Sabbath. Now, there don't happen to be any scribes or Pharisees there to get upset about it, as there will be later in the gospel. Jesus gets in quite a lot of trouble for healing on the Sabbath, but nobody's there to give him a hard time, and he heals this woman on the Sabbath. And so then at evening, the end of the Sabbath, this whole crowd of people are able to come out. And Jesus heals and casts out demons, cures many who are sick. Jesus does his thing. He heals people. And apparently it's all night long from sunset to the morning. Because in verse 35 we hear that it's the morning that Jesus goes off into a deserted place. Can you imagine for a moment putting yourself in Jesus' place? He's just had this argument with the scribes and the Pharisees and this man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue. He comes home, he heals a woman, and then all night long he's healing, casting out demons for the entire city. So when morning comes, Jesus gets out of there. He goes to the deserted place. Now this word is the same as the wilderness where Jesus is tempted by the devil. He's out in a deserted place. He's not simply out on the back porch. He's not around the corner. He's not even walking down the alley around the block. Jesus has needed to get out. And so he leaves. He goes far to get away from the people. It's a deserted place. And there he begins to pray. Jesus' prayer is often throughout the gospel this centering time. The time where Jesus feels untethered or adrift, lost perhaps. He goes at this time of prayer to try to recenter himself. So I can just imagine working all night, healing, dealing with demons, casting out diseases, how tired and exhausted Jesus was. And he goes out by himself to pray and center himself. That's where we get Simon's response. He's already seen his mother-in-law be healed, begin to serve. Here, Simon, when confronted with this missing Jesus, he and all of the companions go out and hunt for Jesus. They're not just looking for him. It's not like playing hide-and-seek with a toddler for the first 5 minutes. Where are you? You under here? You remember playing hide-and-seek with a toddler. Isn't it fun? It might be more like playing hide-and-seek with a toddler about 2 hours since you've seen them. You get a little bit more, you know, antsy. Where are you? They're hunting. They're not just looking. They're not just casually doing this. They are hunting for Jesus. They need to find him. They cannot wait. It's a need. Simon's response to seeing Jesus, healing all these people, is to hunt for him. To hold on to this power, this person, so that it doesn't slip through his fingers. He's got to have him. And when he finally finds Jesus, he does not ask what he needs. He does not serve him. He doesn't bring him a glass of water. He doesn't say, hey, you must be hungry from all the healing and the casting out of demons that you've done all night long. What can I get for you? He says simply, everyone is searching for you. How dare you come out here by yourself and try to rest? People are looking for you. You have this power, this ability to heal. People need to see you and receive it and be with you. There's no serving. There's no helping. There's no asking what I can do to help you do what you need to do, Jesus. It's all selfish from Simon. And I imagine Jesus kind of slumps over, takes a deep breath, more of the burden from his followers. And he simply answers, let's go on to the neighboring towns. I've not come here simply to set up shop in your house, Simon, and so that you can bring everybody here and start healing people and maybe start charging a little fee when I'm not looking. It's not why I'm here, Simon. I'm here to spread the gospel, to teach and to heal. All throughout this first chapter of Mark and into the gospel, the two are tied together. It's wonderful to see the healings, to have those demons cast out. That's what Simon and the people are longing for. But Jesus recognizes that he cannot do that without also the teaching portion of it. His teaching and his healing go hand in hand. He's not interested in setting up this hospital, this healing place where people come. No, he must go out from town to town, from synagogue to synagogue, teaching, spreading the gospel, in addition to the healing and the casting out of demons. So this mother-in-law is healed. She begins to serve. She offers nourishment, water, food, so that Jesus can continue to do what Jesus needs to do. Simon is looking for what Simon can get out of this. We're looking for you. We need your power. We've got more people up there that you need to heal. Finish the job. How do we respond to Jesus' healings? Are we like the mother-in-law, looking for ways to serve Christ, to help find ways that we can help broaden that gospel? Are we more like Simon? We're looking for you, Jesus. We miss you. We've set up this nice place and we want more people to come into it. Make sure that you're here so that you can do your thing to help us out. May we respond with service. May we find ways to feed and to support and to love. And may we cast out those selfish desires, hoping that Jesus is just there to help us. May we find ways to serve. May we find ways to help. Amen.